Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, our show is presented by Creation CBD. Creation CBD products curated for life. Darren McFarland and Chase McCabe alongside. We're live here at the Patron Platinum Club inside Bridgestone Arena. Let's say hello and good morning to Paul Feinbaum. He now joins us for his weekly chat brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Well, we've been talking about it for a good while. Paul, how was this Dan Mullen saga going to play out in Gainesville? Well, we have our answer, and I guess after Saturday, no one should really be surprised, because when that game ended, I said, well, it's officially all bets are off now at this point moving forward.
Yeah, you know, guys, I think what it proves is that athletic directors worry about their own futures as well. Remember 3 weeks ago, Mullen fired his defensive coordinator and his offensive line coach, and we all said that, well, now he's safe. Well, now that the athletic director fired Mullen, now we can say he is safe, because I think had he resisted, he could have found himself unemployed as well. That's how critical the situation was. It was toxic. The fans had absolutely turned on Mullen, and, you know, he really, good record or not, and his record is good. He had no support left, and I think the only debate really came down to, do we give it another week and see what happens against Florida State? And the answer was no, because it wouldn't make any difference. That game is of so low value this year that the decision was made, and he is gone.
We're going to all, divvy up a pie on tomorrow on Thanksgiving. So let's divvy up the pie. If we were doing the Dan Mullen pie, how much of this was about wins and losses? I say wins and losses, but how about the way last season ended, getting smoked in the bowl, losing to a bad LSU team, and then this season. So how much of it about was the product on the field, and how much of the pie was about just, some of the antics, some of the stuff, the recruiting and the Missouri game last year, all the stuff that comes with Dan Mullen? How would you answer that?
Well, I'd answer it this way. Those off-the-field issues never matter as long as you're winning. And
yep.
I know that sounds very predictable, but it's true. And because they don't get a lot of attention. And even though some of us would ask reporters, well, what about this? What about the Darth Vader deal? What about the show cause? What about the lack of attention to COVID, remember all that. Dan Mullen talking about full stadiums at the height of the pandemic. It just didn't make any difference, even though the no-show in the bowl game, because the media nowadays, I know I sound like a curmudgeon in a journalism class, we pay attention to what fans care the most about, and that's, did you win the game? And if you did, then who cares about the rest of it? But when you don't, it boomerangs, just like it did for Ogeron, and it did for Mullen. I mean, he left a trail of crumbs for anybody to pick up and use against him. And when everything just imploded, and by the way, I don't know if I've ever seen a coach fall apart faster, especially a successful coach. And, without off-the-field issues or NCAA issues, after the Florida game, most of us said, okay, he's safe. He's got four wins left. Well, after losing two of those automatic four, there was literally, and including one of those games was felt like a loss, the Samford game. There was nowhere for him to turn. They made the right decision.
Well, you're right, and you said some of them had, or the fan people had turned on him. How much do you think the recruiting comments, like you said, you're 100% right. A lot of this, it's all phony, because you can say whatever you want when you're winning, but when things go south is when everybody holds everything against you. But the whole, we'll worry about that. The flippant comment that he made about recruiting, and we already know that he hasn't been recruiting to the level of Georgia and others, which, Florida fans say, why aren't we recruiting to that level? Did that have any effect on what just played out at all, or no?
I think it did. And you have to remember, Florida has a couple of factions. There's the Spurrier faction, there's the Urban Meyer faction. And Mullen, while he is part of that Urban Meyer, Tebow group, he was not the head coach, he was an assistant. So I don't think he gets a lot of credit for that. And he just couldn't keep his mouth shut. He really couldn't. I think in the end, that job was too big for him. It was such a big stage. And by the way, that, this is now the third coach in a row that that stage has been too big for. Yep. Let me add, actually, it's the fourth coach in a row, because Urban Meyer couldn't handle it either. And if you really want to be picky, at the end of Spurrier's 12 years, he couldn't deal with it. The pressure was too much. I'll never forget Spurrier telling me his last year there, they lost a game to Tennessee. Remember, it was 9-11, and the game was moved to the end of the year. It cost him a shot at a national championship. They ended up winning the Orange Bowl, finished number three in the country, and the season, he said, felt like a disaster.
So, with that being said, who is the next guy up that can handle, or they think can handle, that job? Where do you think they're going to turn?
Yeah, I mean, the conventional wisdom coming out of the people that cover the team is a guy who has dealt with a lot of big-time pressure in Lafayette, Louisiana, Billy Napier.
Yeah, the hotbed.
He's the hot name at the moment. And I had a reporter on yesterday who's arguing, you know, he was part of Clemson. By the way, he was at Clemson when they fired Tommy Bowden, and he lasted about a year. And then the guy told me he was part of Saban's dynasty. Well, he was part of Saban's dynasty as a wide receiver coach. And when he got passed over to be the offensive coordinator, he left. That doesn't mean he's a bad coach. He's proven that he can coach. But yeah, I love that. But that's a perfect example of how we in the media just attach narratives to people when we want to make a case.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we've all seen the list, Paul. But I mean, you know, you described it and laid it out well. It's not for the faint of heart. I mean, everybody wants that job until you get into that job and you realize the pressure cooker that you're in all the time, every day. You know. Every game, every season, it never ends. So, I mean, I look at that list and I'm like, okay, well, I mean, I get what Billy Napier's done. I'm like, that's fantastic. It's law tech. It's like, you know, Dave Clawson. Yeah, he's done a fantastic job at Wake, but that's Wake Forest. I mean, think about Dave Clawson, you know, Bowling Green, Wake Forest, and I get it. He last year at Tennessee with Phil Fulmer, but, you know, is he equipped to that? I don't know if any of these guys are really equipped to do that job, unless maybe it's a Bob Stoops.
I laugh at Bob Stoops for this reason. Bob Stoops, at 56 years old, was burned out and hated recruiting when he resigned or retired at Oklahoma. Now, how does that transfer 4 years later to a tougher job than Oklahoma? Yep. I don't believe that, and I'm not saying that 60 is old. It's not, but when you leave, I just don't see Bob Stoops having the passion. I think Lane Kiffin certainly can handle it. The pressure, he's already had tougher jobs than that at Southern Cal, the Oakland Raiders. You know, is he acceptable, is a question. But beyond that, LSU is a better job. I think Southern Cal is a better job. Which is why they made that move. They couldn't afford to wait a week because, yeah, these jobs are going to start being filled quickly. Once Saturday night is over, we'll know whether Jimbo Fisher is going to, you know, say no for the 40th time to LSU. And by Monday, you better have a coach because your recruiting timetable is now down to 14 days.
Yeah. Well, that's ironic interesting that you said that, because I was going to ask you the pecking order of the big three. Now that we know Penn State is closed, thanks to the 40-year contract for James Franklin, we'll get to that in a minute. Mm. But I was going to ask you to, you know, rank. So you think USC and LSU? So you would have Florida third in that pecking order, and if so,
yes.
Why, Paul? Why are they third?
Well, because they've really been behind. Now they're catching up. From a facility standpoint, they're opening a new facility, indoor, all the things that are important to players in April. So that has been something that has hurt them. The recruiting base is, I don't know how you interpret it, because, yeah, Florida is a big state, but Everyone's coming into Florida. You don't have a stronghold in that state anymore. No one else does either, by the way. In Louisiana, if you're at LSU, you can't live entirely off of the state, but you can live well off of Louisiana. It's a very rich state in recruiting. You're also bordering Texas, which is advantageous. And you know, Southern Cal, there's only been one successful coach in 40 years at Southern Cal. I know they won a championship somewhere in there with John Robinson, but for the most part, Pete Carroll is the only guy that has been consistent out there. And ultimately, I think that's a tough job. But the fact that three consecutive coaches have been fired at Florida is a bad trend line. And by the way, I mean, we have poked holes in Muschamp, Mullen, and, of course, McElwain. But at the time, they were all pretty good hires.
Paul Feinbaum is with us from ESPN and the SEC Network. So if you had to put a percentage on it, what percentage would you say Lane Kiffin is coaching in the SEC next year? What would that be?
I'd probably still leave him as a favorite, but the Miami job, which isn't vacant, is intriguing. I hear a lot of his friends say that, you know, he covets that job. I frankly think Florida is the job that I think LSU is the job he would like, but Florida is a job that he would take. But you know, I mean, what if he wins tomorrow night? I think he's a slight underdog. That would be a 10-2 season at Ole Miss. That's hard to do.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And if you're him, if you're looking at it, you know, from, let's say it's Florida or Miami, he's going to the state of Florida. I think Florida is the better job, obviously, and I think he'd be more successful at Florida. Miami, with Lane being Lane, scares me a little bit. How would you look at that?
Yeah, I'm afraid Miami is Nebraska. It's 20 years ago, and the biggest problem I have with Miami, and you have this problem at every school, but nowhere nearly as badly as Miami, is that the guys who made Miami famous, the players from the 80s and the 90s into the early 2000s, they think they own that program, and they interfere at will, and Lane would be popular among some of them, but I don't think he could control them.
Looking at the rankings last night, Ohio State moves up to number 2. I don't think that's really a surprise there as Alabama drops a spot. But Cincinnati back in the top four after still being undefeated. Do you think that if they win out, they're going to hold that spot, or is it still there's just a lot of trouble behind them and they're just a placeholder?
I think they will. The two things they have to worry about: Alabama beating Georgia, which complicates things, and Oklahoma State's looking like an elite team, meaning, you know, they go into Bedlam Saturday night and win convincingly, and then they do the same thing either against Oklahoma or Baylor. Oklahoma State's the team you have to worry about, but I think the committee is signaling they like Cincinnati. I think if they kept Cincinnati out, it would be the biggest controversy of the college football playoff era. Not that that's a big deal, but these guys are politicians too. Don't ever forget that. I mean, that is a sore spot, especially for a group of people who has now stalled the playoff.
What kind of chances?
The expansion of the playoff.
Right. What kind of chances do you give Michigan against Ohio State? I think Ohio State's an 8-point favorite on the road at the Big House.
It's hard for me to believe in them. Ohio State played so well last week. Can they replicate that? They're on the road. This is Michigan's probably Michigan's best shot in 5 years. 2 years ago, I thought they had a good chance, and they got rolled. And I think it is psychological. Let's be honest. The weapons on that Ohio State team are just endless. Michigan's got a really good defense, but I don't think they can hang with Ohio State if it becomes a track meet.
Paul, as we wrap this up, sad news out of Tuscaloosa, a guy I'm sure you had a lot of dealings with, Cecil Hurt, passing away at the age of 62, longtime sports editor and columnist at the Tuscaloosa News. Just really sad to hear that news because we had him on a lot.
Yeah, Cecil was the longest-running guest on our show. He was also an extremely close friend. And, you know, what was he? It's hard to explain Cecil to people who didn't know him. He was so smart. The first time I met him at an Alabama basketball game, he was carrying a pocket-sized copy of Catcher in the Rye. I mean, we all read that in 12th grade literature, English lit, but, you know, Cecil was just, he was always probing for something else. But the thing that I think separated him from everyone else is that he literally was a confidant of every Alabama football coach, from Bryant through Nick Saban. I mean, he could walk into Nick Saban's office at any moment, and Saban would talk to him and listen to him. And there have been a lot of well-known sports writers in that state before and since. Nobody's ever had that entree.
You're right about that. Good stuff, as always, Paul. Happy Thanksgiving to you. We enjoyed the chat, as always, and we'll do it again next week.
My pleasure, guys. See you then. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That is Paul Feinbaum. You know, his show starts at 2 o'clock on 94.9. You hear that music. And every week, his chat with us on Wednesdays is brought to you by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We will come back more on the other side as you listen to Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.